From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome once again to a broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. In a few minutes, we'll be hearing from Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. On today's broadcast, Dr. Cairns comes to the final message in this series entitled Life in the Spirit, an examination of Galatians 5, where in verses 22 and 23, the Apostle Paul set forth the nine elements that make up the fruit of the Spirit. Having dealt with each virtue listed by Paul, Dr. Cairns devotes this final message to the last part of verse 23, which says, "Against such there is no law." Paul's argument in the book of Galatians is the superiority of life in Christ over bondage to the Old Testament ceremonial law. Throughout the book, he has sought to develop the Christian's relationship to the law of God in the light of his position in Christ. First of all, Dr. Cairns emphasizes that there is nothing in God's law that is contrary to life in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit leads believers to live in the liberty that is in Christ, liberty to live holy and fruitful lives. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First, here's a devotional thought from Faith's Checkbook, a collection from the pen of the great 19th century English preacher Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Our devotional for today is called Trust and Do, Do and Trust. The text is found in Psalm 37 and verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Trust and do are words which go well together in the order in which the Holy Spirit has placed them. We should have faith, and that faith should work. Trust in God sets us upon holy doing. We trust God for good, and then we do good. We do not sit still because we trust, but we arouse ourselves and expect the Lord to work through us and by us. It is not ours to worry and do evil, but to trust and do good. We neither trust without doing, nor do without trusting. Adversaries would root us out if they could, but by trusting and doing we dwell in the land. We will not go into Egypt, but we will remain in Emmanuel's land, the providence of God, the Canaan of covenant love. We are not so easily to be got rid of as the Lord's enemies suppose. They cannot thrust us out nor stamp us out. Where God has given us a name and a place, there we abide. But what about the supply of our necessities? The Lord has put a verily into this promise. As sure as God is true, His people shall be fed. It is theirs to trust and to do, and it is the Lord's to do according to their trust. If not fed by ravens, or fed by an Obadiah, or fed by a widow, yet they shall be fed somehow. Away, ye fears!
Shepherd, go before me. Wise and loving guide. I have seen your goodness, proven sure.
Sure.
As you enjoy this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, we'd like to call your attention to a new publication. The Free Presbyterian Church has produced a devotional book entitled A Word in Season. Here is an ideal companion for your daily Bible reading and prayer. In a beautiful hardcover edition, A Word in Season contains 366 clear, concise Bible studies on the major themes of Scripture concerning what it means to be a Christian. Each day it brings you a text of Scripture with a short study to edify and encourage you. At the back of the book is a section, Begin and End the Day with Scripture, which sets out a schedule of daily Bible readings designed to take you through the entire Bible once and the Psalms and New Testament twice in 2 years. The title, A Word in Season, recognizes that we all face different situations and have different needs in our Christian walk. Whatever your season, youth or old age, sickness or health, happiness or sadness, blessing or bereavement, here are messages that will minister the truth of God's Word to your heart. Copies of A Word in Season are perfect for gift-giving at this time of year. The price is $20, which includes postage and handling. You may obtain a copy by emailing us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. You may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Or you may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615.
Turning this morning to the fifth chapter of Galatians, we'll read again the verses 22 and 23, and come one more time to this 23rd verse, Galatians chapter 5. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. For some time now, we've been going down this list of nine virtues that are grouped together under the singular title of the fruit of the Spirit. The singular is important. These are not so many fruits that you bear some, but you don't need to worry so much about others. The fruit of the Spirit is found in these nine virtues. As we point out before we're through today, not only in these, but these are representative of all the work of the Holy Ghost in the life of a believer. Now we have finished the nine. Maybe I should say our study of the nine has finished some of you. But we have got through the nine. And there is a little statement right at the end of verse 23. Against such there is no law. And usually that statement is skipped over rather quickly as something that is fairly inconsequential. A sort of a little addition, rhetorically good, makes good composition, but as to the actual force and power and meaning of the verse, not of great consequence. The real emphasis is on the list of nine virtues. Now, while commentators and preachers don't actually say that, the way they treat this last clause in the verse leads you to that conclusion. And yet I couldn't get away from it. I was saying to Dr. Allison just before he went off to Kansas City that I'm going to look all what the experts say here, and I have no doubt, as per usual, when you need them, the experts are conspicuous by their absence, and lo and behold, just about one and all agreed to say nothing more than is in the text. In other words, this doesn't really merit a very close examination. And yet, I think in fact that Paul was inspired to put this here for very good reason. If you understand the whole argument of this epistle and of this chapter, you'll see that this is a very significant statement, and that it completes the thought that the apostle has been laboriously building up throughout the chapter. Chapter 5 of Galatians is all about life in the liberty of the Spirit, contrasted with life in the bondage of the law and of the flesh. Life in the liberty of the Spirit. Paul's contention is that the Judaizers, then seeking to influence the new Galatian Christians, who, by the way, were Gentiles, and just for good measure, very difficult Gentiles, and for even better measure, according to many scholars, these were the Celtic races who later lived in northern France and made their name in Ireland. They later, we're told, became saints. They were very far from being saintly at this time. But anyway, these Galatian Christians were being influenced by a bunch of converted Jews who were ignoring the distinction between the moral and the ceremonial law of God. Let me sum it up very quickly. The moral law is enduring. It is something that God holds all people responsible to. It doesn't matter what their nationality. It doesn't matter what time in history they live. The moral law is the enduring law of God. The ceremonial law, however, was not meant to be imposed upon all men. It was Jewish in character, and it was temporary in endurance. The Judaizers, failing to mark that distinction, were seeking to influence these people and thus making the law an instrument of bondage. Whereas Paul argues the law is not an instrument of bondage to a believer in Christ, it is not the enemy of living in the Spirit, it is not the enemy of the true liberty of the gospel. And thus, having set forth life in the Spirit, in the fullness of the fruit of the Spirit, he says, against such there is no law. Now, obviously, the subject of this little text is a vast subject, though our contextual dealing with it must be rather more narrow. But the subject is really the fruit of the Spirit, or life in the Spirit, in relation to God's law. Now, in many ways, that sums up the subject not only of this text, but of the whole New Testament. The man who does not come to grips with that subject has not come to grips with the real import and application of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The fruit of the Spirit, or our whole life in the Spirit, in relation to God's law, that's what Paul is dealing with. And the point specifically that he's making is that the law is not against the fruit of the Spirit, nor is the fruit of the Spirit against the law of God. Now, I will have three very, very simple remarks to make. And if you pray really hard, I may even make them briefly. Although there are a few very unbelieving leers that I can see on a number of faces right now. But we'll try. First and foremost, Paul is making the point, there is nothing in God's law that is contrary to life in the Spirit. Remember the background to the text. Controversy was wrecking these churches of Galatia. And a good work was being brought into such question that Paul was really doubtful as to whether that work would continue and produce the fruit that God intended. These Judaizing Christians were trying to impose the entire legal system of the Old Testament upon these new believers. They didn't deny the efficacy of the blood of Christ. They didn't deny that Christ was the Son of God, that his sacrifice was an atoning sacrifice, that he rose again the third day from the dead. They didn't even deny justification by faith. What they denied was justification by faith alone. What they denied was that you could be a Christian without also being a Jew. You had to take on board the entire system of Judaism, the entire system of ceremonial laws. They charged Paul with being a renegade against the law. They charged him with despising and dishonoring the law. And they maintained that the law of God was the enemy of Paul's theology. But Paul argued that it wasn't he but they who were really betraying both the law and the gospel. And he showed them, I'm not going to preach my way through this, but it will summarize the verses of this chapter. He showed them in the first three verses that the gospel is the gospel of liberty. Liberty from what? Liberty from the bondage of justification by law keeping. J. Gresham Machen some years ago had a great message and study in this, and he pointed out that Christian liberty is the liberty from having to establish your own acceptance with God by how well you work. That's a glorious gospel, the glorious gospel of liberty from justification by law keeping. In verse 13 of chapter 4, he shows them that this liberty is not license to sin. It is a life of faith in Jesus Christ. Verse 13 He says, ye have been called to liberty. Only use not your liberty for an occasion of the flesh, but by love serve one another. Let me say this in passing, and I will not get into it. We will possibly have cause to come back to it from a different aspect later. But in this day in which we live, there are believers, and sadly I have to confess most of them tend to be Calvinistic believers. And I say sadly because I am a convinced Calvinist. But these people have the notion that Christian liberty is the liberty to be as like the world as they can be. They think it is a cultural liberation. They booze the same way as the world. They smoke the same way as the world. I've asked some of them, when the government finally, as it will, legalizes marijuana, will they do pot the same way as the world? And I have no doubt that many of them will, saying, this is our Christian liberty. Paul says Christian liberty is not a cloak for worldliness. Christian liberty is the liberty to be holy. It's the liberty to be like Christ. It's the liberty to live by the power of faith in Jesus Christ. We were hearing the choir this morning sing about higher ground. The Christian's liberty is the liberty to live on that higher ground by faith in Christ, by the power of the Spirit of God. Verse 16 and 17, this is how the Holy Ghost leads His people to live. If you're walking in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. The flesh lusts against the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary one to the other. Notice what he's saying. The Holy Ghost is contrary to the flesh. He is not contrary to the law of God. And in verse 18 he says, if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law, in the sense, as we'll see, of bondage. God's Holy Spirit leads God's people to live in the liberty of a life of faith. And as we have been studying the last number of weeks, this life in the Spirit, verse 22 and 23, is a life of fruitfulness. And this is how the Holy Ghost leads Christians to live.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.